Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Afternoon out here at the Public House. We've been out here since 11 o'clock, and we've got baseball coming up, ESPN tonight. Jake Arrieta on the hill and Connor Menez on the hill for the San Francisco Giants. Joined by Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. What's going on?
Well, it's kind of, you know what it's like out here. This has been a baseball weekend. Yesterday, a great crowd. Great game yesterday. I mean, Bruce, yesterday was, I don't know, my kind of game with the drama getting to the ninth inning, the place going nuts, and Harper coming up and Will Smith spinning him up there. It was a baseball lover's dream.
Yeah, I really like the way Bochy handled it. You know, Samardzija was pitching so well, retiring 20 guys in a row, and, you know, he gives up a bloop single. Sometimes you think, well, if somebody gets on, he's out of there, and a guy did get on, but it was no reflection on Samardzija. He let him finish the eighth, and then, you know, it's very simple progression to the closer, and Will Smith had the slider going against Harper and Dickerson, and meanwhile the Giants played a tight game. They got a couple homers, and you're right, it was a really, really nice ball game.
Bruce, what do you think about Samardzija? I mean, he's figured out this new element to his game now where he's not relying on the fastball to blow past guys, and he's having great success. Are we seeing a guy who's going to extend his career now by maybe 5-6 years?
I don't know about 5-6 years. But
I'm being
ambitious.
How about five or six months?
I was going to say 12 years. No. No, you know, the guy's a great athlete, and he's got a great mind for whatever he does in sports, and he's got four pitches that are working for him now. You know, the eyesight lines are changing for the hitters. He's got the fastball that at the top of the zone. Then he comes down with a slider low and away. I think he's more of a pitcher now than he's ever been, when he just could go out there and sling the fastball and get by with it with a couple breaking pitches. He's thinking a lot more out there. He doesn't quite have the stuff that he used to have, but it's been impressive to watch. I mean, you can talk about spin rate and what he's been doing all you want, but it has to do it on the field. And what he did yesterday, I mean, the Phillies just went completely quiet.
You know, I've been thinking about Bochy a little bit. Your story today was terrific. He came into the dugout singing a Captain and Tennille song. Come on.
Yeah, I heard him. He was definitely singing. You could barely hear him. And when it was over, I go, boy, what was that you were singing there? He goes, the Captain and Tennille. I mean, that's an old school moment there in every way. But not a bad tune. But that was going through his head, and he didn't mind, you know, sharing it with us.
You know what's funny about him? Of course, he's going to be a Hall of Fame manager. But the way the managerial tree is going, the young managers are taking over the game. And not only does he become a Hall of Fame manager, but he sort of fits the role because there aren't anyone left like him.
Yeah, well, that's really a shame. I mean, he's obviously holding his own with probably a little more old school tenets than the modern young guys. And, you know, it could be alarming to think of the kind of manager who would replace him, especially if the Giants have a good rotation full of guys who like to go deep. If they get Cueto, Samardzija, if they were to bring Bumgarner back, and some of these young guys coming up, who can get you in the seventh and eighth inning, and that to me is a manager's dream, where you don't have to fool around with getting them out in the fifth and four more relievers to get to the end, and that's what happened yesterday. That's what Bochy likes to do. You never know the. Yeah, and you know, this is based on like decades of experience for Bochy. It's not like he's clinging to the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know, I mean, he's right up to date, man. Some of the younger guys coming in, the managers and the general managers, rely strictly on numbers. It'll be very interesting to see who they replace him with. But in the meantime, he's managing great. The teams, I'm pretty sure they're going to wind up around 500, and we'll see if they can sneak into the playoffs. That would be a terrific thing for Bochy in his last year.
Bruce, we just had Guy Haberman on, and we were kicking around, sort of tongue-in-cheek, like joking around about Stephen Vogt being a player manager. Now, you think we'll ever get to a spot where we're going to have a guy do that again? I mean, we got two-way players now in baseball. We may see more of those. You think we'll ever have another player manager?
I know. I don't see it. Because the numbers are so important, and they're being studied throughout the game, and it's hard to study, you know, a binder full of stuff if you're playing center field. You know, I mean, it's just that's the way the game is now. I think it was perfectly acceptable with, you know, Bucky Harris. That goes an awful long way back. But
Charlie Grimm.
Yeah, that Jolly Charlie, as you...
second reference today.
Jolly Charlie, by the way, everybody, was Marty Lurie's contribution. I asked him about singing managers, and within 5 seconds, he tells me about Jolly, Jolly Grimm.
Banjo.
But, yeah, I forget where I was now.
Well, it's the kind of managers who could do
that.
And I'll just jump in for a second. Lou Boudreau did it, and, of course, how did that become successful? He's a Hall of Fame shortstop for the Cleveland Indians, but he had the Deacon, Bill McKechnie, as his bench coach. So,
well, you need that.
Yeah, so if you had, like, just for the sake of discussion, Crawford's the manager, and you have Wotus as the bench coach, really running the game, and Crawford's on the field. I don't know. I guess
I do like it. I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, when you're nobody feels the game like somebody who's in it, or a guy like Bochy or Wotus who is way more attuned to what's happening right in front of him than you know a bunch of the stats that showed what happened yesterday or last week or last year. So that would be to keep Wotus around. I think would be crucial. I'm sure you know Crawford's not ready to be a player manager yet. I don't think. I mean, I think he needs to kind of resurrect his reputation a little bit as a hitter. And if he's managing the team as well, that's only going to take away from that, I would think. But it's all interesting stuff to talk about.
It's interesting to talk about just the candidates that may be out there. Guys, are the Giants going to go in a direction that it seems like the rest of baseball is gone, or could they go to another guy who's a leader of men or an old-school type guy like Boch? I would imagine they probably turn the page towards a guy like a guy I was just mentioning, you know, Sam Fold or a Raul Labañez or an Eric Chavez, these guys who are closer to the end of their career in the game, maybe wanting to manage.
Those are all good names. I like those names. That Bob Nightingale of USA Today threw out Gabe Kapler as an option if the Phillies were to let him go. And the Phillies are in a position where they drop out of this, and the fans are up in arms. And I think he's well regarded among the front office in Philadelphia. I'm not sure. He's very new age and maybe a little too radical for the Giants' taste, but. That's going to be interesting. One thing we learned about Farhan, I think, is that he's very open-minded. He's sensitive to, what the Giants stand for. And I don't think they would make a change so radical as to go from Bochy to Kapler, but who knows?
Well, and one thing I'll tell you, he's got a plan. There's no doubt in my mind he's got a plan. He's not going to wake up on October 1st and say, uh-oh, I haven't thought about the manager.
To me, it's offensive to really start sorting out guys who would replace Bochy. I don't even want to hear it. You know, you have to plan if you're Farhan. You're all over it. But just to get it out in the papers and this and that, I just don't like seeing it. I don't want to think about it until the season's over.
No, you're right. There's a whole 6 weeks to go in a celebration of Bochy, really, in the month of September. Well, we got the 89 team, the celebration today, Bruce, and Henry's going to come on in just a little while. He was actually the beat writer at that time for the Oakland Trib, right, Henry? The Oakland Trib. He's tweeting, of course. He's in another world right now. But he was the beat writer for the Oakland Trib in 89, covering the Giants. But your thoughts about 89, Bruce?
Yeah, I had just gotten the Chronicle column a few months before, so I was out there, you know, as a columnist. And but when I think of 89, I mean, I don't go straight to the earthquake at all. I go a lot, think a lot more about that the great Will Clark base hit up the middle off Mitch Williams on a perfectly gorgeous day at Candlestick, and you know, hearing Hank Greenwald's call later, and just what a massive hit that was. And then going into the playoffs against the Cubs, and Will Clark just dominating everybody, including Greg Maddux, who was with the Cubs then, and what a compelling team that was. I mean, you talk about a fun old school manager. You know, Roger Craig was exactly that, and he knew his stuff, and he knew how to manage a game in a brilliant way, while even calling some of the pitches for his pitchers that he didn't feel were quite ready to take command of the game. So many great things. You know, on the A's side, I mean, geez, that might be the best team I've ever seen. I mean, it's right up there with the great Yankees and Cincinnati teams that we've seen, the great A's teams in the mid '70s. But that '89 team, you think about the Bash Brothers and Ricky Henderson led off. It's either game three or four with what looked like a 9-iron at Candlestick, and the thing just landed softly on the grass, you know, 3 feet from the pin, lead off homer. Yeah. You're just like, oh my God. Or the play that ended that series, the Tony Phillips to Eckersley play, was absolutely gorgeous. They made it look like nothing, and it was a very difficult play, and if they'd screwed it up, you know, that it's kind of embarrassing. But just the textbook nature of the A's, and of course, you know, I always remember the A's winning that World Series with a two-man rotation because they could. And when they asked Storm Davis why, you know, if he was upset it was all Stewart and Moore, he goes, if I wanted to win, I'd go with those two guys too, you know. So a lot of great stuff.
I love Storm Davis. Five innings and I'll see you later. That was Storm Davis. But Will Clark, for me, 89, I think of Will Clark. I think of all the clutch hits against the Cubs, and what a year he had as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about Hall of Famers, and that was the year I thought, this guy is a Hall of Famer. You want guys to make you a believer at the time with what they're doing and what other people are saying about him. And I can't remember too many seasons, performances one after another, that struck that Hall of Fame note that Will Clark did that year. I mean, he was just he was a god in the game, and he had swagger, and he was kind of nuts, and absolutely loved a big moment. Just couldn't wait, you know. And yeah, he was a very special guy.
Very good, Bruce. Enjoy the afternoon. Great to talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always good talking ball with him.